The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hello, everyone. I am Karen the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And welcome to Gotham Undercover. We are part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
Yes, indeed. And we're discussing Mad Grey Dawn.
Season 2, episode 15.
Right. And this was written by Megan Mostyn Brown, who's done a lot of work on Gotham. She's a major part of the writing team and production team. And it was directed by Nick Coppas, who's done work on Arrow, Salem, and Damien. And check the show notes out on the blog, and we'll have a cool link because he does these cool prep books for each episode of a TV show that he does, and they have great cover art. They're just amazing. They could be posters. So
yeah, a neat find.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw these little sketches in his on his bio and his IMDb page, and I clicked on one, and it's like he doodles a little sketch on these prep books for each show that he does. It's really cool. So,
but yeah, basically he's like creating a comic book cover for each episode.
Yeah, it's very neat. So you guys should go and have a look at it. The one especially for Gotham is neat, I thought.
Yeah, most definitely.
You should go check it out. So, shall we give our rating for Mad Grey Dawn?
Indeed.
Go for it.
I gave it 9 taverns of blackbirds, a.k.a. crowbars.
You didn't have time to think of that one, right? Yeah, I gave it 9 Gotham-flavored Robin Hoods's. Because that's kind of what they were doing. I don't mind stealing if it's from the bad guys.
Exactly, exactly.
Yep. And we were of the same mind. This was a great episode.
It really was. It hit on a lot of good things. The cinematography, the music. There's so much to delve into. So much good character development.
Mm-hmm. And there is one thing that I'm going to mention a little later because it's part of the very end of the episode. But it's one thing that pushed me right over into the 9 area. And again, I'll mention it when we get to the end of the episode part. But I have my story titles, and they are as such. Riddle of the Jinx. Oswaddle's Home. And Adrenaline and the Junkies. And bonus, Babs Babbles.
Yeah.
So Riddle of the Jinx, of course, would be the Riddler giving his clues.
Oh, my goodness. So good.
Yeah, right.
He is just on top of things. Mm-hmm. Ed was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, very good writing.
Whether Jim deserves it or not, that's a whole nother story. Because it's definitely something that Ed has kind of dreamed up.
Oh, yeah. The riddles, I think I mentioned this in the blog post, but the riddles were not up to Batman level yet.
No.
But Batman wasn't his audience.
Right.
He was doing riddles that Jim could solve.
Right. Right.
Right.
And definitely they were tailored to a policeman coming from inside the precinct.
Right.
Because he was able to doctor some of the stuff that, right, from forensics and things like that. So it was definitely a kind of a once in a lifetime thing for him being in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling he's not going to get this opportunity much longer, that this sort of thing is going to have to hit ahead at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In order for James to be released, something's going to have to come out about Ed, I'm thinking, at least.
Yeah, I agree. I think something's going to happen there. But it was so, it was like one of those things you're savoring because it's so good, right? Because he is thought 3-4 steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
He has taken his anger at Jim and funneled it into the riddles and this each step that he needs to take. And so it's gone from a madness into very driven purpose.
Mm-hmm. Very calculated.
Yes. And it's just so good because of the way that he walks it out. He's taking each of these steps, and you're seeing some of it, but then you see the rest of it later on, and you're like, wow, he was even more on top of things. Because just when you think, oh, we're catching a break here, and then it's like, nope, he's right. Already thought of the yep. next thing.
Exactly. And the thing that gets me is I'm thinking he's going to go down in flames over this whole thing. Is he's creating the perfect storm to frame himself, right? Because James has no idea that he killed Kristen. Mm-hmm. No idea. He's not even, there's no inkling of that. They right. think he's heartbroken. And this whole vendetta is because they think he might have a clue that he had something to do with it, right? I mean, that's kind of the thought process, right? Is that he thinks they're going to catch him
right.
for killing Kristen. And he thinks they might have an inkling, and so he's got to nip this in the bud. And if this all comes back around, they're going to catch him.
Yeah.
So what is the point of doing this except it's going to draw attention to himself, which I think is probably the funniest part of this whole thing.
Yeah, it's going to be – I'm very interested to see where this goes, because you're like, how can he have this growth and become this Riddler? It's going to take him getting caught and having to up his game in different ways.
Yes.
It's an area of growth.
Yes.
He's looking at – he's trying these things out. He's kind of – flying and looking at things and trying things out, and he's getting away with it, but it's something's going to happen. He's going to get caught, and he's going to have to up his game because now people are going to suspect him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And this is just another thing that I think is going to shape him into right. the better criminal that he's mm-hmm. going to become, because he's going to get caught.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way he's not going to get caught in this, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. And, oh, it was brilliant, though, right? I mean, first of all, this is a bomb.
Yeah.
Right? That made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I caught that on the second watch. And I'm like, did the artist put that there, or did he actually put that
no,
there?
No, wait, he put it was his art.
Oh, okay.
So he put the whole thing there.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a bomb.
And people are like,
or this is a real bomb? Is that what it said? This is a real bomb?
Yes.
Yeah,
it said,
a real
this
bomb.
Is a real bomb.
Right.
And I'm like, how surreal can you get?
Right.
You know, people are like, that's an interesting.
And
you know,
see, that's the brilliant part.
People.
That's the brilliant part, is because there's that sort of pretension in that kind of art where you would kind of believe it's really art, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh, that's irony.
Yeah, yeah.
And people would just stand back and go, oh, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it starts to go off, and the people just kind of stand back and look at it. Oh, Yes. Oh.
Performance art.
Right, exactly. And then all of a sudden, they kind of cotton on to the fact that it's actually going to do something. It never really explodes, but we do get enough of a smoke, at mm-hmm. least a smoke screen, so that he right. can do what he needs to do. And yeah. again, we get the trademark question marks, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
More fangirling for me. And the only reason he steals the painting is to draw attention to the riddle he makes in there.
Right.
Right. And why they don't get that the whole thing is a riddle after they have to solve that riddle, I don't know. But you'd think they'd be tiptoeing around things.
Well, it's one of those things. I think we talk about Gotham as a character and people growing and becoming who they really are. This is a first. And so Barnes is looking for something beyond just these riddles because he doesn't understand what the focus of it is. Nobody really does except Ed. But they're not used to things. So I think we will see that growth of people trying to question, of looking beyond things, of not just seeing it as an art heist and to start to question crimes, to say, is this just a normal crime or is there something else behind it?
Right.
And I think this was a wake-up call. Once Jim discovers who it really is, it's going to be a wake-up call for him to look more deeply at things and at people.
Now, I'm wondering, do they actually think it's Oswald?
I don't think they have a clue.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Now, they mentioned Oswald having, you know, been in and then having gotten out of Arkham.
Right, but they put that away because Jim says, listen, if he wanted to, he could have blown me away earlier and not been put in Arkham.
Correct.
So he doesn't have the motivation to do it after the fact.
Right.
What good would it do to do, because it's just going to incriminate him as well as incriminating Jim. And, you know, so I think they kind of blow that off to say, no, it can't be him. There's got to, Jim says there was somebody watching.
Right.
So
I assume they're discounting him out of hand, which is good because he is definitely not the culprit.
Yeah.
But who are they going to look at is my question. And of course it's going to be Bullock, which is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
To see him take the lead in something, I cannot wait to see that happen.
Oh, I loved just, you know, we've seen the growth over the last two seasons of him and getting to know him as a character. And I must say that I like his character in Gotham a whole lot more than in Batman, the animated series. But I love the fact that Jim says, you were a good partner. And Bullock says, I still am.
Mm-hmm.
He's not letting it go because he knows that something's up and he knows that this is not Jim.
Right.
Somebody is framing him.
Right. And he's going to stick with it. That's what he's letting him know.
Exactly.
As he goes in there. Now, my only thought was through this whole thing, and I know it's not real, but I was really worried because he's a policeman. And he's put away half the people he's going to be in there with.
Oh.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, and if you look at the promos, that's the impression they give.
So right.
Like, oh, they're putting him in Blackgate. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's not a great thing at all. And I think that is a lot of the gist of where that conversation with Lee was going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get over me because I ain't coming out.
Well, and I think we talked about mad, you know, that there's mad in the title, and we look at different ways that people are mad, and they're mad at something, they're just mad in general.
Or mad crazy in some cases,
Jim has seeing the situation that he's been put in, and he realizes that he is responsible. He's crossed a line. He's getting punished for it. He can kind of see what's going to come, and he wants to protect Lee and his child. So he has to put up this act where he is mad and is pushing them away so that they can have that safety, so that they can get out of Gotham and get away and not be used as tools to get at him.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see how he starts to balance being the man and the police officer that he needs to be and having a family.
Right.
Yeah, because he's got to have both. And right now, the Riddler has taken that away from him because they've put him, he's away in jail, and he just, okay, I can't protect her, so I'm pushing her away so she will be protected.
And little does he know that Ed knows all about her and will know
right.
If she goes somewhere, and that is not a good recipe.
No, and we've seen how Ed, we're losing people off the squad.
Yeah.
One by one, he's planted the evidence at Pinkney's house. The crowbar is yep. under there.
And made sure that he couldn't say it wasn't him.
Right. It's got Jim's fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
He's got the exact wording because he turned in the anonymous tip to IA.
Right.
And then he got Pinkney to sign this form under the form.
Right.
Which that was a quick switch.
I love how they show those in this episode.
Oh, and then he calls in Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just so good. And switching out evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that it wasn't a payphone that set off the bomb in the train station.
Right.
But he planted that evidence.
But he plants it. Right.
Right.
Because he's right there. He can plant whatever he wants.
And he knows how it's supposed to look because he knows the protocol.
Right.
Oh, it's just...
It's genius, right?
Right. And when... We'll get into this, but when Oswald comes to him, he says, look, I'm on a stride.
Yeah.
I don't want you to throw me off, basically.
Right.
So
thanks very much, pat, pat, pat. Going home now.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But
so
I am very anxious to see what actually brings Ed down and how he makes that step back up.
Right.
And that's what's exciting about this series is we know we have ups and we have downs. We're a long way from Batman, but how they're writing it so that it keeps you interested, and it's character development and it's done well. And
mm-hmm.
just to see Ed's growth, and he's gone from this meek and mild person who's scared and wouldn't do, and he's taken all these things and he's grown with them and he's doing them, and you're just like, oh, it's so good.
Uh-huh.
The way that he is being so bad.
I know. And there's part of me that knows he's going to get caught. But also part of me that's kind of rooting for him. Is that sick? I mean, there's...
No, because there are those... We talked about it. There are those villains that you like to root for, not because that you approve of what they're doing, but because what they're doing is so smart and so thought out that you just... want to see them their next step. There's the ones that you love to hate,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the ones that you are genuinely intrigued because you kind of see where they're going, and it has... I like that Gotham, you know, this season, Rise and Wrath of the Villains, and we're seeing different types.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many different types of villains. And they're not cookie cutters. They're not clones of each other. They all are bad in their own ways. And you can cheer them on because it's done well. The writers are doing a good job of writing to the characters and making them interesting in different ways. And so pulling for Ed to pull things over, and because you're seeing growth in his character. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. And we're not even getting the archetype of the character that they're supposed to be in the future.
Right.
Yet. I mean, Oswald is not the Penguin yet. I mean, the Penguin is not this tragic little meek figure that he is right now. He's going to evolve into something completely different in the future. Riddler is going to stay similar to this as he is right now, not as he was, but as he is now. It's just going to get much more complex and sophisticated. But I think that his madness will evolve him into the real Riddler.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, most of these characters are going to evolve because of the mistakes they'll make and the evolutions they'll go through. And some of those evolutions are going to be natural, and some of them, as we know, are going to come from Indian Hill, which did not happen in this episode at all. But, you know, that's something that is going to happen in the second half of the season as well.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep our eye on that, which I think is going to be a great thing, because they're mixing up how they're evolving these villains, that they're taking some of the natural evolution and some of this sort of unnatural, sort of mystical, sort of comic booky, you know, the
right.
Magically sort of comic booky sort of evolution, which I love.
But it makes sense in that world, because some of them are gonna would develop naturally and some of them can't. And so you've got to say, how can we develop these people in a way that makes sense in the universe of Gotham? And they're doing well.
I think so too. I think they really are. So now to go on to the next villain, as we were just discussing Oswald, Oswaddle's home. And he just doesn't waddle home. I'm talking about all of Gotham. He makes his way into Gotham from Arkham. And he visits some old friends.
Well, I love it because he has come out with this seemingly new lease on life, and he is looking, he has lost his mom, he's lost his family. So he's going to his friends who he is seeing like family. He's trusting them, he's got a relationship. So he goes and he wants to spread his message and what he's learned to others, and he comes in to kind of make amends with Butch.
You were my only friend, Butch. Yeah. And Butch was willing to let it lie.
Right. I think Butch, we've seen so much growth, because we saw who he was in season one, and the change in season two, and now he's coming back into his own, being his own man and the leadership. And he says to Tabitha, look, I believe in an eye for an eye. We've all lost something. And so he's willing to let him go, and Tabitha's gonna let that ride to let him go and live, but she's not going to let it ride to let him go unpunished.
Yeah, and I think that's odd, because Butch lets her off the hook completely for his hand. And then she cannot let it lie for Oswald. You know, she killed his mother.
Right. And so Butch lost a hand because Oswald needed to get him inside.
Right.
So he lost a hand.
Right.
But Tabitha and Oswald lost a person.
Right.
So I can
Aren't they kind of even? kind of?
Yeah, but...
I mean, if he's willing to forgive, shouldn't it be kind of...
Yeah, but
I know Tabitha is not the same as Butch, well, that's
but
for sure.
Tabitha, I think it's her nature, because we know of how it ended with her and her brother.
Right.
She's basically escaping and getting away because of the relationship between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, she has feelings for him. That's understandable. But I think it's just her nature. She is using the excuse of her brother as a means to exact revenge or get a thrill out of it.
Okay. And, so it's just her sadistic side, you think?
Yeah, I think she's had to tame that down because of her relationship with Butch. I think she looks at who she's trying to get in with and adapts herself to that. And she realizes that she's not going to have this outlet with Butch. So she's looking for a thrill, basically. And that's, you know, getting rid of Penguin may do that for her. But she's not going to jeopardize the end that she's got with Butch to do that. So that's kind of where I look at it.
Yeah, I think it was mostly just a kick of hers. And the fact that they tar and feather him.
Yeah. And send him on his way.
Yeah. And he's just so happy about it. Well, you know, when he shows up on Ed's doorstep, tarred and feathered, and he says, oh, yes, Tabitha had to kind of show me her displeasure. And he's still smiling.
Yeah. And once again, he's going to someone he's trusting, who's become a friend. He's on this journey. And each time he's kind of getting turned away from this pseudo family until it takes him to the graveyard.
Right, right. Oh. Exactly. Poor Ed.
Mm.
Poor Ed is not ready for a visit from his old pal, Penguin.
No,
not in the state that he's in.
It throws off his groove.
It does. It does. He is ready for revenge, and Oswald is ready to forgive and forget.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my old pal, Ed. Hi there, friend.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's going door to door selling Bibles. Isn't it? A little bit like he's seen the way. And Ed is not having it.
No.
He's not ready to be redeemed.
Mm-mm.
Not in the least.
Yeah.
So, you know, Riddler he's eager to pat his head and to send him on his way.
Yeah. He's ready to get rid of him so he can move on to the next step. So,
right.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting little conversation they had. And I like that he had made that promise to Oswald to, you know, visit his mother's grave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next place Oswald goes is to his mother's grave.
Right.
So
right.
It's like, well, you and I aren't friends, it looks like. So now I'm going to go to my mother's grave. It's like, you know, well, that step has been removed.
You're right. He's looking for home. He's looking for family. And he's coming to literally a dead end of his mother's grave when who shows up?
A nice old man that just happens to look just like him.
And has lilies, his mom's favorite flower.
That's right. That is right. And that was an interesting scene, was it not?
Yes. And I like the way Rubens is playing Elijah. The mannerisms and the way that he talks and the conversation that they have, he's trying to get this information and they've got this back and forth until the discovery is literally made. This, how old are you? That'll be about right.
Yeah. Like you couldn't tell just by looking at him. I mean, I could tell just by looking at them that they were father and son, you know?
Yes.
I mean, how could you not? Now, I don't know about you, but I thought it was so brilliantly played by Paul Rubens that I got a handle on this character right away, just from this first episode.
Right, and exactly.
Here's how I see it. He fell in love with this cook, the lowly cook, who was paid off by his family because he is from a rich family and she is definitely the help.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pregnant. And they probably knew she was pregnant and knew that he would marry her. Mm-hmm. So they sent her off with money. Bye-bye now.
Yeah.
Now, he went on to, you know, go and do his own things. Now he has his own family, and this family is only with him for his money.
Yes. So you look at it, his parents sent her away because they wanted better for him, a better social standing for him, and a true heir that would be worthy of the name.
Right.
And
these kids look nothing like him.
Well, and I don't know if we want to get into the preview for next week, but
yeah.
So they're not, the parents did the exact opposite of what really should have happened.
Right.
I think if he had been forced to confront this and marry her and raise this family, he would be a very different man than who he is.
Right.
And I think we see the similarities between he and Oswald because of the environments that they were raised in and that the responsibilities not being there, being kind of coddled. And in one way, it's in wealth. In one way, it's being, oh, you're my precious only child. So you see how similar they are and what a mirror they are to each other, but how different they are too, because we have seen kind of the iron that is in Oswald as in the determination that he has. And yet we kind of don't see that in his father. And so I agree, it's one episode and you have such a feel for the character. And once again, that's good acting and good writing, because you make the best of the story and the lines that you're giving and the delivery. It is just so good.
Yeah. And we totally got a handle on that whole situation just in this one episode. So now what's left is the exposition and the follow through.
Right.
And they can unravel this whole story now without having to lay down any more groundwork. I have the whole story. I just want to see where it goes.
Right.
And that's so amazing to me that we got this whole character already.
Yeah, I love the fact that in this episode, we did have a time jump in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
We had a 4-week time jump.
Right?
So we had, and it
this
served.
This is where my director props go, right
so
here.
It serves multiple purposes. One, we have Lee's pregnancy being more developed.
Right.
And so that's great that we don't have to have hiding behind things. And it works well to say, okay, this was a 4-week court case.
Mm-hmm.
So the court case was 4 weeks, which can be a little long, but it's you would think it'd be longer. So it just kind of tells you how ready to move forward they are.
Right.
But then you have 4 weeks of Oswald being in his father's home and being around this family, and he feels
taking
welcome.
Taking baths.
Right. He feels like he's got a home and a family.
Right.
And that complacency that he feels. And then behind the scenes, not even mentioned, we have Hugo observing it all. I'm fairly certain that he's keeping an eye on Oswald. And so it's just so good and it feels natural. It's not a, okay, we've got to do this 4-week jump to just work in the pregnancy. No, it makes sense in light of the story. That 4 weeks we didn't necessarily have to see, because we get a full picture of what happened those 4 weeks, and it doesn't really need to have full exposition on it. So,
it was fantastic because that last, okay, there was a bit at the end that wasn't in a montage area, mm-hmm. but before that last couple minutes, and I guess it was about the last 10 minutes before those 2 minutes, it was kind of all montage-y with mm-hmm. little pieces of show and right. then some montages with like quick cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I thought it was something that really should have gotten picked up on. Like I should have seen that in the news the next day. It was so good. You know, I should have seen that on TV Line, like brilliant directing on Gotham today. You know, yeah, I really yeah. should have seen that because that was like watching a ballet, that little montage that showed us those 4 weeks where it showed us Oswald and it showed us Ed watching everything unravel for Jim, and it showed Jim going through the whole trial, and it showed Lee, and it showed Bullock, and it just showed everything there in that 4 weeks, and it really outlined the whole thing so well. I was blown away by that, the quick cuts and the showing, and it looked like that vintage sort of like the newspaper being thrown at the screen, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was amazing, and I was gushing at that point, and I was like, I gotta talk about this episode, because that part, I mean, I felt like that 10 minutes of cinema, quote-unquote TV, whatever right. you want to call it, was so brilliantly directed. I looked up all the episodes that Nick Copus has done of Arrow and the other shows. He did a bunch of Alpha episodes, and I can tell he's done Alpha. Alpha was a very tactile show.
Mm-hmm.
They showed a lot of three-dimensional things on Alpha.
Right.
And so this was it seemed like a very dimensional-looking montage. Right.
And I loved all through. I love the shot of Jim being carried out of the station, and he's talking to Bullock, and then up top on the ledge, outlined in silhouette, you see Ed there, kind of gloating
right.
over it all,
looking over everything. Yeah.
So the cinematography was great, and the music.
Mm-hmm.
Chris gets into this in his feedback, and I had it in my notes too. The music cues, I love how they take bits and pieces of other movies and media and bring that theme in and vary it into these episodes when you're looking at the different characters. And you don't sense that necessarily on the front of your mind, but when you hear that, that brings back that association. It builds that character up in your head and mm-hmm. brings back that without it hitting you over the head saying, this is the Penguin. Right. This is Bruce. You know,
yeah, they each have their own little theme.
Right. And I love how they pay homage to two different things all throughout this series, and they don't do it in a, okay, this is, you know, taking you back to X or Y.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like his direction of how he oversaw all this to put it together. And I liked how you said it was like a ballet or a finally working behind the scenes with theater stuff. I've appreciated ballet and I've appreciated fight scenes because fight scenes are so intricately choreographed mm-hmm. with the music and how they're moving and rolling. He just did an excellent job this episode.
Yeah,
just
I agree.
Rolling all those things together, and hopefully they will submit this episode to the award shows. Not that I'm expecting them to get anything, but
it would be nice to at least see it submitted, because,
right.
man, this was
Yeah.
At the very least for director, because wow, it was crazy.
So let's get to C story.
Right. Adrenaline and the Junkies. Someone has decided he likes getting beaten up on and likes beating up people in this episode. And he also likes a little bit of vigilanteism, oddly enough.
Well, he is getting mad. He is getting... He wants to understand who people... We talked about it last episode of how he wants to understand how other people live, and he realizes that he can't do that from Wayne Enterprises or from his mansion. So he has been learning from Selena and growing that way, but we see this growth in him, and I love the growth that we see, because he wants, he's like, hey, they're criminals. I don't mind stealing from them. And once they go to start stealing, he's on the ball. He says, he starts talking to the guy who's taking the mushrooms.
Right.
He starts feeding into this guy's fantasy so that they can get it without
painting,
you know,
a picture for the guy. Yeah.
Right. And then he stands up for Selena and he starts to hear Spirit Alfred in his head. Mm-hmm. I love that. And so he's starting to put those things into practice and to say, okay, I've got to wear him down by, you know, wearing him down and taking these punches. But I love it because you see this start of growth. And once again, it's progression. He's going to learn from this. He's going to grow from it. And he's got a ways to go. But I put this in the notes, and it says he's talking about after the fact, after they've kind of gotten away. He says to Selena, when it was happening, it was like nothing else existed. Everything I've been struggling with, emptiness and confusion, it just vanished. And for the first time in a long time, I knew that I was going to be okay. I knew that whatever Sonny did to me, I could take it. That he couldn't break me, no one can. Mm-hmm. And then Selena says, everybody can be broken. Come on.
Right.
So,
Yeah, but you can see that bit of steel in his backbone.
Right. The steel that Jerry talked about last week. You see that starting to be forged. You know, he's been shoved in the fire, been taken out, he's been hammered, and he's being shoved back in the fire. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, that analogy of building that katana blade that's been heated and
folding it.
Yep. And this is just the beginning rounds.
And look at the layers in this episode. Not only is he learning from Ivy and Selena, but he's hearing Alfred teach him the lessons that he has learned in the past about fighting and things like that and strategy in his head while he's learning from the streets. So he's taking all these lessons and he's folding them into what he's going to become. Mm-hmm. And I love that they've taken this whole thing where he's actually absorbing some of the stuff he's learned from Alfred and applying it to the situation that he's in on the street. And it's great. I love that he is not completely abandoning Alfred in this time. It's very cool.
And it shows you that character that he has, that while he is leery as Batman to trust a lot of people, he has people that he trusts very closely, and he chooses them well, and he values them for the role that they play in his life. And you see the start of that, where he can take these things that he may not agree with what everybody is teaching him, but he can take those things and he can fold those, like you said, fold those into his characters, and he can grow. He's not going to be the man that necessarily Alfred wants him to be. He's not going to be the person that Selina necessarily wants him to be. But he's going to take the lessons that they are teaching him and make him into the person that he wants to be.
Right.
And it's just so cool to see that grow.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that they put Ghost Alfred in his head. That's fantastic. And then, of course, we get Babs waking up at the very end of the episode, and we knew that was going to happen at some point. I mean, why would they put her there in the bed if she wasn't going to wake up? What's going to happen there? Who knows?
Well, the cool thing is you were talking about this montage, and you have this, you know, radio announcer voice. And once again, it's a very familiar voice. I don't know who it was, but it's an actor who's done other things. But he comes on and doing the movie tone news, you know, the
right
style.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And so he's leading in to her waking up. Mm-hmm. So Sleeping Beauty.
It's like she's listening to James being convicted.
Right.
And being brought to nearby, because that aren't those two places nearby?
They're close. Yeah. I don't know how close. They're definitely Blackgate is on Gotham Bay because
right.
you can see the water all around it.
Right.
So it's still on the bay, but how close Arkham is, I don't know. But. Mm. Yeah, I'm not up on that, but they're close. So she's waking up and Hugo's called for her.
Yeah, Hugo's gonna want to see this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Oh. So she's waking up, and all these things are happening at the end of the episode, and it's like the perfect storm, only not so perfect.
Right. Oh.
And so many things are happening. And this is what makes for a great episode of television, is wanting to sit on the very edge of your seat because you want to know what's going to happen next. And then when the credits start, you go, no. Right? I mean, isn't that kind of what happened at the end of this episode?
You pull a Locke and Mr. Echo. We're going to exactly. have to watch that one again.
Oh, man. I have got to rewatch Lost at some point. I really have to rewatch it at some point. My husband is rewatching Fringe right now. So
yeah, that's another one that I would really – I watched a couple seasons this past summer, but – Those are good. But
my husband came into the room where I was the other day and he said, that Marionette episode is really screwed up. And I said, no, duh. So, this episode was, wow, just close to perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know what would have made it perfect. Maybe someone finding out about something. And someone being taken down. But as it was, things were not solved. So a lot of stuff was left up in the air. And I think that's what made it a 9 instead of higher than that.
Right. But it got that movement forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was way forward.
Yeah. And
it went a long way in an hour.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I was not bored. Not even for 1 second.
I can say this, that after the break that we had, each episode, it's not that the first half was slow or bad in any way, but the pacing of this second half, I think, is necessarily faster because we were dealing with a main villain and he had people under him.
Mm-hmm.
And this second half, we are dealing with more villains who are main and they're having to move between them. So the pacing is faster. So it's taking notes and trying to get everything in is just a lot harder in this second half because the pacing is a lot quicker because the first half was a mental chess game with Galvine. And this second half is a more fast-paced, action-based.
Right.
It's a different style.
I agree.
And that's why I'm glad they have a different subtitle
right.
for the second half.
I agree.
It's a different
chapter. It's a totally different arc. Yeah.
But it flows really well from
sure.
one half to the other. So,
I
yeah,
agree.
It works really well. So
yeah, it's one big, long story.
Yeah.
But there is a definite break in that arc.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Gallivant goes down and then all of a sudden, up come all these other villains and they're ready to go.
Right.
It's fantastic. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So shall we go into the feedback?
Yes.
And I heard something is going to come up about that sound in a minute. But first, I'm going to play our audio feedback. So let's play that.
Hey, this is Harley Quinn sending in a transmission from the future. I just had some quick thoughts here on Mad Grey Dawn. First is, I'm absolutely loving the Riddler storyline. And he's even dressing like the Riddler.
Right.
Oh, this is fantastic. I'm so excited for the rest of that character development. Also, the Penguin's new family is super creepy. And I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but the new wife of his father is another OC alum. I'm not sure how I'm feeling about the Jim Gordon storyline, but I guess we know that at some point he has to get out of prison. So I guess that'll be interesting to see how that happens. I really love the scenes between him and Lee. They have great chemistry, but I guess that's expected. There is one thing that bothered me, though. It's just a minor nitpick, but she's pregnant, yet she was still drinking wine. Anyway, look forward to your thoughts, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. And apparently, the current thought is that a glass or two of wine over the course of your pregnancy is all right.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Right. Right.
Like not once a day. But it's okay to have one every once in a while.
Yeah. And she deserved one.
Yeah, she did.
But
I wouldn't, but you know,
yeah.
That's me.
She mentioned Penguin's new Oswald's new stepmom being an OC alum. She's also an alum of Caprica.
Ooh. Is that where I know her from?
Yes. Sister Clarice, is that it? She was the leader of the one true God cult. Yeah, so that's,
okay.
I was like, I saw her and I'm like, I know her. So I pulled up IMDb and I was like, oh, that's where I know her from.
Yeah, we'll go into that, I think, next week when we talk more about the family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's been in quite a few things, I think. She just looks incredibly familiar. And I love the hair, the beehive hairdo and the cat's eye makeup and all that.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely has a vibe going.
Right. And I love the look between her and her daughter.
Yeah.
During that toasting scene.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, you can tell that they're mother and daughter and they're in it together. It's
you
like, ooh.
You can.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're.
Another thing that says, okay, I'm ready for next week because it's so good. And, you know, they don't have a word too.
Right.
And you're like, okay, that's just pulling me in.
Right.
So,
I can't wait to find out what is up with that family, right?
Exactly.
There's something going on there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chris sent us feedback. Hi, Chris. How are you? And he says, a few things from last week. You are now the second podcast I listened to that uses your feedback sound effect. The Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe uses it as an intro and extra for each episode, so you guys are in good company. If you want to hear something funny, check out comedian Frank Caliendo's impression of Ted Knight doing the Super Friends voiceover. And I agree, I have heard that. Ted Caliendo is incredibly talented. I enjoy his impressions. They're really, really good. And his Ted Knight is very good.
Yeah, I wanted to put an actual clip from the Super Friends in the blog post.
Yeah.
And I could not find an actual clip from YouTube that had that. So I found a sound clip. So that's in the blog
post.
Oh,
good.
But I did see there was like 12, 13 times posted of Caliendo doing Ted Knight.
Yeah, he's
Super
great.
Friends.
Well, the Super Friends has been a long time, and it's hard to get digital copies of that. I would love for them to come out on some sort of media that we could get clips from. It would be great.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so back to his feedback.
Yeah.
Now, oh, hold on. There you go,
back
Chris.
At the Hall of Justice.
Now on to this week's episode. I'm hoping that sometime before the series ends, we'll hear Ed utter the words, "Riddle me this." Yeah, me too. There was something that tickled me about the line, "Happy day, I'm sane. I have a certificate." Me too. I like that as well.
Oh, I love that one.
If one of the mushrooms Ivy has developed makes you grow larger, I know two Italian plumbers who would like to get in touch with her for help in their battle with Bowser. Can you tell I'm a gamer? Technically, it was not a lie Ed told Jim when he said, "I'm on the case." It was just the truth from a certain point of view. A la Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's true. He was on the case. He was just on the other side of it.
Yeah.
To be honest, the new you is kind of freaking me out. I agree, Ed. Bruce standing up to Sonny may be one of my favorite scenes this season. He's still not close to being Batman in terms of ability, but the foundation is almost completed. I agree. I think he's got a pretty sturdy foundation, at least.
Yeah, definitely.
He knows where his morality is,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to stand on it. He's just got to get a firmer footing, I think, is the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for this, but just for fun, watch the episode again and imagine Paul Reubens delivering every line as Pee-wee Herman's character. It gave me a chuckle. That's just me.
I know who you are, but what am I?
I loved your mom. Okay, sorry. It's been a while since I've seen Batman Returns, so correct me if I'm wrong, but did the music that was playing as Oswald and his father spoke remind anyone else of the music as Penguin is born in the movie? Yes, I think they did do that.
Mm-hmm.
They made it sound a little... it's not Oingo Boingo, but the guy from Oingo Boingo, right?
Yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. His name's...
It's escaping me. I know his name.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it did have overtones
right.
of his music.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree. It did sound a little... Danny Elfman. We both got it at the same time. Yeah, it sounded very Elfman-esque.
Yeah.
When Bruce was telling Selina that he's unbreakable, I know I heard music reminiscent of the end of The Dark Knight when Batman had to go into hiding. Yes, I agree. It sounded very dark there as well, too. I think they do that on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that's, like I said, I think that the people that are doing the music are intentionally taking that and making a riff on it so that it's not, oh, that's that music, but...
Right.
So that it brings those things back to your
exactly
your memory.
Putting you in the mind of that sort of thing, yeah.
Right.
And especially when it came to Oswald's father, which was awesome because he is actually playing that same character.
Mm-hmm.
So to bring that music with him into this role, that was, I mean, it was like meta upon meta. It was very
yeah.
cool. So reports of bad news happening to Jim revives Barbara like a dead Jason Voorhees being struck like lightning. Harvey is just the kind of adversary that Ed will overlook out of arrogance, kind of like the Emperor with the Ewoks. That is a good point, Chris. I think that might be something that might come into play. A little bit of hubris.
Yeah.
This is actually my favorite episode so far this season, and I happily give it 9 out of 10 planted crowbars. Yep, he's
nice.
Right on the same wavelength as us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And he says, "Thanks, guys, Chris."
Yeah.
And if you would like to give your feedback, tell them how they can do that.
Our feedback deadline is Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Real time.
You can call 304-837-2278, or you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. There you can type out text, you can attach an audio file, or you can leave a message using the SpeakPipe widget. And we would love to hear from you. I mean, it is great getting consistent feedback, and we get tweets at Gotham GSM on Twitter, and of course our Facebook group, you know, good conversations, but we really want to hear what you have to say about it. Please feel free to call in or use the feedback page to do so.
Definitely.
And we would love if you would go to goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes. You can subscribe to us there or any of the other great podcasts out there that GSM does. So please get in touch with us. You are our undercover agents. We need your reports. We need to hear from you because this is a community and we need you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. So now, shall we talk about next week's episode?
Yes.
Let's do. I don't know why I hit the clapping. I just thought it sounded good. Next week's episode is called Prisoners. After Gordon is removed from protective custody, he begins to face new threats and dangers inside the prison walls. In order to survive, he must rely on a new friend, as well as Bullock and other outside help. Meanwhile, Penguin grows closer to his father, while his stepmother and step-siblings move forward with their own plans for the family. Mm-hmm. Monday, March 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
That's right. That's right.
Mm.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm. Me too. Did you see it said meanwhile? Meanwhile. Right there. Penguin Girls Cursor 2 Spot.
Wow.
I cannot wait. It looks great. They're not going to step down, I don't think. Just every episode, the pictures I see and the descriptions I read, I get more and more excited. If your friends are not watching Gotham and they're comic books fans, get them watching it.
Yeah, we say this and we're preaching to the choir because you're listening to the podcast, but please share with them because it is just so good, so different from season one, so tight.
Mm-hmm.
With a 22-episode season, there can be some filler episodes, but I think they looked at this season and said, we've got to step up our game because of last season, and they're making good points in every episode and thinking of it as arcs, and they're just doing a good job, and it's a very good type of drama. And like I said, it is not a fully formed Batman series. It's about Gotham, and it's so good.
Mm.
So many types of drama, procedural, you've got villains, you've got romance, you've got different things in there that just make it so good. And
that's right.
Like I said, we're trucking along, we're moving along towards the end, and I'm just excited to see what's going to happen next.
And it's kind of nice that we don't have to beg for you to watch the show in order for it to get another season. We already have the next season in the bag. So it's only for us to say, you know, get your friends watching because we have a third season. And if you get them on the boat now, then they'll be up to speed for next season because it's only going to get better from here.
Definitely. I think they've started to build this stable of writers and directors. Like I said, this is not the first episode that Nick's done, and I'm very happy if he will continue doing episodes. So if they can get the good writing staff that understands the themes and can continue this, and have those good directors that are looking at, let's make a very cinematography-driven, you know, all-encompassing series like it has been this season, we're just going to see that growth. Mm. And I think that's where they're at. And thankfully, I think Fox has giving them that funding and moving forward. Yeah. And I think we will, after this season is over, with people talking about it and people getting to see it online, once it's out there and being able to go back and see season one and two, that we will pick up some people in season three.
But I think so too. I think yeah, there's going to be some binging over the summer.
Right. And I'm really glad that the stars are out there doing cons like Heroes and Villains and other things like that, where they're getting to talk with fans who are fans of genre TV and kind of the the Heroes and Villains is kind of geared towards comic book TV. So it's a little smaller genre, but it's getting them connected to people that may not be watching Gotham. They're watching other shows and they go to these panels and get to see the quality of actors that we have on the show. And then that can say, okay, let me go check this out.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, that's what things like this do. There's a huge community for this stuff, and I really like it.
Yeah.
It's great.
And it was really cool to listen to this week's Arrow Squad, because they're one of the listeners who was a younger listener, said she listens to Arrow Squad and she listens to us and Central City Underground. And it's great that you have these new fans, these younger kids getting involved and listening. And she may not, always leave feedback, but we love when you give us feedback, and whether it's a post or whatever, because there's these great theories that come out that we might not think about that you bring up, and it gives us as podcasters an opportunity to springboard off of that. And so we really thank you for that.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Yep. All right. So we're done talking about this week's episode. We'll be back next week talking about they're not the Cobblepots. What are they called?
The Van, what is it? Vandals. Vandals, yeah.
We'll be talking about them. The yes. Hermans. The Hermans. So we'll be talking about them next week and talking about James in the prisons.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to talk to you. And I'll talk to you next week, Jeff.
Yes, indeed.
And everybody have a good week.
Have a great one.